Good morning, everyone. Chag Sameach. Feel free to come and stay. I thought that maybe a nice idea every day after davening to get to know the five rabbanim who gathered in Bnei Brak. Who were they? We run through them in the Haggadah. They're very famous rabbanim, very famous tanayim. So each day, we only really have 4 days of Chol HaMoed. So in Rosh Hashem, we'll talk about the five rabbanim in 4 days. So let's work chronologically. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was known as Rabbi Eliezer Haggadol. And he had a very interesting background. He had many different rebbeim. His primary rebbe was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself was a Talmud of Beis Hillel. So that's important for later. Keep that in mind. The Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus stems from the tradition of Beis Hillel, but there's a bit of a deviance, divergence in Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He's also known as Rabbi Eliezer Haggadol. Now, he was one of Rabbi Kiva's rebbeim. Rabbi Kiva had two rebbeim, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Why I say this is because his backstory, the origin story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, is in many ways similar to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was in his 20s and he hadn't learned, and his father was very demanding that he finish college before he go to yeshiva. His father didn't want him to learn. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, on his own, went to Yerushalayim to study with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he had a very deep relationship with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The nickname Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave him was Bor Sid She'inam Abe Tipa. He was this well that was lined with an insulating agent so that none of the Torah he studied would get lost. That was his power. We'll talk about different ways to study Torah maybe today. And he was actually one of the Talmidim who helped smuggle Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai out of Yerushalayim in that famous story where he faked his death. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So this is one of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a master rebbe. He was one of the great rabbanim of the Tanaim. He had many, many talmidim. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was his Talmud Vasik, was a very close Talmud of his. Anyway, at the age of 22, 28, it's not clear, he runs away from the family estate and goes to Yerushalayim to study with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, infuriating the brothers, because the brothers wanted to stay around and work and till and work the land. So the brothers goaded the father into going to Yerushalayim to yank Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus back home so that he shouldn't study Torah. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got word that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the father, was coming to Yerushalayim, so he told his shamashim, make sure he stays in a nice hotel and make sure he comes tomorrow to the shir. The next day, everyone gathered outside of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would teach outside of the walls of Yerushalayim to use the walls as shade. The Gemara's a whole conversation. Can you use the shade from the walls of Yerushalayim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would teach, or is there an Isser of Mila? So he's giving shir in public, and everyone gathered. And he asked Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus to come and give shir that day. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, evidently, when he was very young, he was shy, which is very different from the Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus we know, who was very demanding and very imperial, as we'll see later. He was very shy. He didn't want to darshan. He didn't want to get up. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai basically pushed him into giving this Devar Torah, and evidently it was spectacular, and a buzz went through the crowd, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called up Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and he gave him a kiss on his forehead. And his father, Hyrcanus, didn't know what was going on. He didn't know how to learn. Who is this person? Why are they celebrating? And as the buzz spread, so Hyrcanus was convinced to let his son Eliezer stay in Yerushalayim and continue to learn with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So this is the backstory. He wasn't 40 years old, but he was in his 20s. He hadn't learned any Torah. To me, I always thought that made him more sympathetic to Rabbi Akiva's plight. Because for a Rebbe to be a proper Rebbe, you have to understand your Talmud. So someone that had background and had studied Torah and was part of the nobility and part of the Torah aristocracy maybe would not be able to understand what it means to come to the Beis Medrash when you're 40 years old. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus had that sense because of his backstory. Anyway, he also learned from Rabbi Gamliel and Yavne. Remember, he lives in the first century, so he's living through the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What's interesting about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is he's one of the Tanaim who are spared the brutal decrees of the Romans. The Romans murdered mercilessly all of our Rabbanim in two different waves, one in 70 AD, one in 130. They were not in the same time. We read them on Yom Kippur together, but they happen about 100 years, about 70 years apart. But for whatever reason, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was spared. The Zohar says that Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was a Gilgal of Reuven. Reuven was not involved in Mechiras Yosef. Remember, Reuven tried to save Yosef, he walked away. According to Chazal, the Asar Arugei Malchus was in part an Onesh from Mechiras Yosef. And that's the reason of Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the Gilgal of Reuven, who wasn't involved in Mechiras Yosef, may have been spared. It's an old Kabbalah based on the Zohar. Anyway, at some point, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus also becomes influenced by Beis Shammai. Not really Shammai. Shammai probably isn't living anymore, but he becomes influenced by Beis Shammai. And he has this interesting hybrid between his background, but Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Talmud of Beis Hillel, and Shammai, and that's why the Gemara often calls Eliezer ben Hyrcanus a Shamuti. is a word the Gemara uses to apply to Belezer ben Hyrcanus, according to some shittos, because they come from the house of Shammai. That may explain why whenever he and Rabbi Yeshua, who we'll talk about tomorrow, another Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva, when he and Rabbi Yeshua have a machlokas, we pass to Rabbi Yeshua. Because Rabbi Yeshua was a pure Beis Hillel influenced Tana, he learned Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, whereas Belezer ben Hyrcanus had a little bit of Beit Shammai in him, and therefore, now, he didn't just have the Masara of Beis Shammai, he also had the personality of Beis Shammai. He was very, very unwavering, very inflexible, very demanding, very conservative, very absolutist, very perfectionist. The Gemara in Tanya says that at once there was a terrible, terrible famine, and Blazer ben Hyrcanus got up and said 24 tefillos, and rain didn't come. And Bekiva got up and said his Talmud, got up and davened, and all the rain fell. So they said, not because you're less than Rabbi Akiva in your Torah knowledge, but you're someone that doesn't ever give in on your midos. You're always demanding. And when you daven in front of Hashem, you're not Mavrel Midosav. Rabbi Akiva is Mavrel Midosav, and therefore he was answered in his tefillah. You know, the most famous story, of course, about Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is the famous story of Tanur Shel Achnai. It's a tragic story. There's a machlokas about an oven that isn't manufactured in the oven-making factory, but is rebuilt from stones. Should it be Mekabel Tumah? The Chachamim felt that it should be Mekabel Tumah. Elazar ben Hyrcanus felt it shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. There's a big machlokas. Elazar ben Hyrcanus summoned, if I'm right, then the tree should be uprooted. And if I'm right, the waterway should reverse. And if I'm right, the walls of the base medrash should collapse. And if I'm right, and finally a baskol came out and said, Lo bashamayim hi, man makes decisions, achrei rabim lahatos. He refused to listen. And because of that, and because of the need during that period to reinforce the authority of Chazal, which was under siege because of its tzedukim, a lot of Chazal's very harsh treatment of people who challenged their authority, such as Minim, was because their authority was very much, very tenuous. And therefore they had to overreact, as we would say, to compensate for the potential subversion of rabbinic authority. So they put Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus in Cherem, and in those days Cherem was real. You couldn't talk to him. You couldn't sit within his 4-amah radius. There's a very sad story when the Talmidim come to visit him before he dies, and they still can't get close to him, and they have to sit at a distance with their Rebbe. I think finally the Cherem is lifted right before he dies, and he says a couple of things. Gemara Brachos on Daf Chav Ches tells us some of the last statements he made to his Talmidim. One of them is famous, Uchashatem Ispalalim, De'ulif Nemiatim Omdim. That phrase is based on Elazar ben Hyrcanus. And then when he dies, he says he feels as if there are these two Sifrei Torah. The Sefer Torah, his two arms feel like the two ends of a Sefer Torah that are closing. And the tragedy is the Sefer Torah was closed, not just when he died, but even during his lifetime, because we weren't able to learn as much Torah from him as we could have, because he was in Cherem. So he was one of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim, who is called Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, lived in the first century, lived through the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but influenced by Beis Shammai. Chag Sameach, everyone. Chag Sameach.